Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Maureg Barrett is here. Maureg has become a great member of our brain trust. She's the founder and the CEO of Sky Team, author of Cultivate the Power of Winning. She's a contributor to a number of online publications, and she's our good friend Maureg Barrett. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Glad to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. So one of the things you've been working on lately is how to manage conflict. And I wanted to ask you this question. Is conflict, well, let me say this. Let me ask you this way. In your mind, in your opinion, what would be the definition of conflict?
Well, it really does depend on the person and the situation. I think conflict is in the eye of the beholder and the receiver, because there's things that you could say to me, Jim, that if my husband were to do it, it would be like a red rag to a bull, and vice versa.
And I might get away with it, right?
You might, yeah, or he might. It really does depend.
Right.
It's depending on the message, the person, and the context in which it's being done.
So, saying that when my wife says, when I said, what did I say? And she says, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. Is that what she's saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think she's saying that she's experiencing a level of conflict, and she's trying to flag it in a way that isn't going to exacerbate the situation and make it worse.
So is it part of managing conflict making sure that both parties realize we have a conflict? I mean, if one party doesn't think it's a conflict and the other one does, instead of a conflict, don't we have a failure to communicate?
I think that's probably an easier way, a better way to describe it, a failure to communicate, because if you brush off my feedback as, oh, well, Maureg, it's nothing, you're imagining things, then I don't feel respected and heard, because it obviously was important, otherwise I wouldn't be raising it with you, Jim.
Right. Well, I guess what I'm saying is a conflict, in my opinion, is not the same thing as getting your feelings hurt.
Well, tell me more about that.
Well,
I'm curious.
Well, all right. So one time, a long time ago, I was working in retail. I'm talking about a long time ago, and we had a new manager came into our area of the store, and she just took off on and went to lunch on her own. Well, all the other managers would check, hey, when are you going? All right, I'm going here, I'm going there. I'll go at 11, you go at 12. Okay, we'll work it out. And it'd be different every day, but we worked it out. Well, she didn't check with anybody. She just left.
Right.
So when she came back, I said, hey, Merle, I wanted to let you, and I did just like this, I wanted to let you know that in our group, we kind of coordinate our lunches. We don't just leave. Well, I said it just like that. She got her feelings hurt. She went and told the boss on me. She thought there was a conflict, and I was just telling her the rules.
Right.
See what I mean? So what we had there, apparently, in my opinion, but I got in trouble for that, though.
Oh, did you? That's unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I could have gotten in trouble. I could have gotten in trouble. But she told the boss on me. So my point is, sometimes there's a failure to communicate. And
yeah, there is. And I certainly remember a similar experience early in my career where I changed to a new company and I'd leave at the end of the day. I was still working in England. I'd left at 5. And about 3 months into the role, one of my colleagues said, why do you keep leaving early? And I missed in the small print that the office hours at this new location went till 6 o'clock at night.
Ah.
And so I wasn't leaving early. As far as I was concerned, I was leaving on time. But thank goodness that this person spoke up before it did become an issue.
Right.
So I think you're right. There is a difference between getting your feelings hurt and the issue over which we disagree. And for the managers and colleagues who handle conflict well, they do two things. One is they do what you did and what my colleague did for me. They set the rules of engagement up front.
Mm-hmm.
The how are we going to disagree? And then if feelings are hurt, they give us space to react, because we're all hardwired to react. We've heard of the fight or flight response, and some of us are more easily primed one way or another. But afterwards, it's very easy to apologize that it wasn't my intent to hurt your feelings, but it's important that we coordinate our lunch breaks so that our area is covered during this busy period.
Right.
And so we can always circle back and close the loop.
Well, so is this a conversation we should have, though? I mean, with people, should we say, okay, if she shows up and says, I think everybody should go all at the same time, and we all disagreed with her, well, that would be a conflict.
Yes, it would.
That wouldn't just be a failure to communicate. We know what you want. You know what we want. And so now we have a conflict. But I think it's important, and this is something I think we should help our young folks with. It's been my experience more than once, and I mean many times, and I've heard this from other people, that sometimes millennials act like there's a conflict when you are just correcting them. Or you're reminding them of something got messed up, something happened, and you're saying, okay, now if you remember, we talked about how this is done. This, you didn't do it this way last time, and here's what happened, and how can we make sure this doesn't happen again? Now, that, yeah. I don't consider that a conflict, do you?
Well, there's a couple of things. If our millennials are not able to receive feedback or be successful in the work environment and more fool on us, because we all have culpable negligence in the raising of these millennials,
right,
whether it's as parents, aunts, uncles, friends of the family, whatever it might be. I think it comes down to, again, just setting expectations. And we make or break teams every conversation we have, or more importantly, don't have. So if we don't raise these with our colleagues, whether millennials, baby boomers, or Generation X, then chances are we're going home at the end of the day and venting to our significant other or to the dog,
right,
in which case we're having the conversation with the wrong person, and all it does is it festers.
Well,
and then conflict is more likely because we respond disproportionately.
And I want to say before we wrap up this segment that if you've been listening to my show very long, you know how much of a high regard I have for millennials. I've said many times before, they're probably the best humans we've ever raised, this generation. However, there's some things that they need to work on to help them become more competitive. And one of them is handling a corrective conversation. They need to work on that. Quick break. Right back, Murag Barrett. Murag, give us your website quickly, please.
Skyteam, SKYE team.com.
Check it out. Quick break, 20 after, I should say. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.